James chapter 3. In this book, James hits you in the head. He makes you bleed. I've said before, you can't get in this book without going away with at least a black eye. He hits you head on. He doesn't pull punches. And we have dealt with the fact of how this is talking about we're to mature, we're to grow up. It's time to move on, to progress. And we've looked at suffering in Scripture, subordination in speech. This will sound real weird, but it's exactly what I'm trying to say. I want to look tonight about skill. I thought about the word smarts, but that kind of sounds even dumber than skill. But I am saying tonight that there is a lesson to learn that we apply to life. That's what a skill is. This is not a human skill. It's the exact opposite. It is not something you learn in the classroom. This exact opposite. It's something you learn from heaven. And that we have learned, as we'll find out in just a minute, God calls wisdom. And he says you apply this to your life. It gives you the ability to do what God says. It tells you what God says and then instills in you the ability. And I think that's a skill, even though it's God-given. He, in these five verses, deals with the wisdom, the ability to do what he says in spite of the circumstances, the ability to honor God in our lives, the ability to please God and love God. You see, the New Testament associates wisdom with salvation. You know what I mean? The Bible talks about Jesus gave a parable about a man who built his house on a rock. And he calls that man a wise man. He also, in that parable, talked about a man who built his house on the sand. He called that man foolish, the opposite of wise. You remember the 10 virgins that were alert and ready for the bridegroom party to come by. Jesus called them wise. He called those that were not prepared and did not have oil in their lamps foolish. Throughout the New Testament, we find this word, wisdom, likened to salvation and how we are alert to God's will and God's purpose in our life. Remember the steward that was waiting on his householder, and the Bible says that the wise steward was the one that worked and labored in anticipation of the coming back of the owner. And then the foolish servant was the one who did not keep up with the chores and neglected what he should do. So again, when we talk about wisdom, it's more than just being smart. That's knowledge. Knowing, classroom, learning, stuffed in facts. But wisdom has the idea of knowing how to live out what we know. It has the idea of this. What you believe and how what you believe controls your life. You know why you're here tonight? Various reasons, but the real reason is you believe what God said in this book. If you didn't believe that, you'd be somewhere else. Your belief has affected what you're doing tonight. If we live right tomorrow, we'll live right because of the information God has given us. And we have, here's the word, wisely believed it. And since we have wisely believed it, it's wise because it's right. It's wise to believe what God said because he says what's right. And when a person receives that and believes that, that wisdom is translated to how I live and what I do. It is our belief system that controls how we live. That's what James is talking about. Look in verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. He talks here in the next couple of verses, especially right here, about wisdom and its definition. I've already kind of pecked at it, but what is wisdom? Well, it's not knowledge, because notice how he words the first. Who is a wise man, wisdom, and endued with knowledge? So he separates the two. Knowledge, again, is just knowing the facts, knowing information, having your brain packed full of stuff, knowing it. But wisdom is knowing how to use the knowledge you have. I have a good friend, my old buddy. I prayed for him again today. He did say, he is so full of knowledge. He is a smart man. But as far as translating that to life, he is dumb as a brick. And there's a lot of people who know stuff, but they don't know how to live. They are knowledgeable, but they lack wisdom. And James said, it's good to have knowledge. He's not going to downplay that. He's not going to belittle learning. But what he says is more important than just knowing stuff is knowing how to live, being wise about what you know. He says, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? The implication is some of them there thought they was wise. They thought they were king totem pole. They thought they was smart and wise. And the wording that he has here is, who is it that you think, who is it among you that thinks you wise? He said that you are wise. He said, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. He says, if you're really wise, if you have a God-produced wisdom, it'll show. It'll show off. It'll show out. It'll be evident. He said, if you're really wise, live right. Let him show out of a good conversation. The word conversation doesn't mean just chatting. It means behavior. He says this, if you're really wise, if God has given you wisdom, prove it by how you live. Live right. Live for God. Serve him. Love him. You see, again, wisdom is connected with fearing God and knowing God. Remember what the Bible says? The beginning of wisdom is to fear God. You start getting wisdom when you finally learn to fear God, to walk with him and to love him. Now, again, he's not belittling knowledge. He mentions knowledge there. Hey, you can get knowledge in a classroom. You can get educated into knowledge, but not wisdom. You can have knowledge by the truckload again and not be too smart about how to use it. So wisdom in its definition, it is hearing what God said, believing what God said, and applying it to life. Knowing how to honor God in your life. Knowing what he wants and how to carry it out every day of your life. That's wisdom. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To know God's will and know how to do it every day. Boy, that's what James is talking about. Wisdom in its definition. But then notice on in verse 13 and later on, wisdom and its differences. He's saying in these verses, there's more than one kind of wisdom. There's more than one kind of smarts. There's one more than one kind of skill. Notice again, let's beginning in verse 13 again. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works of meekness and wisdom. Looking on in verse 14. But if you have bitter and envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. He's talking about godly wisdom, but then he talks about bitter envying and strife and glory and not, or don't be proud about it, don't be bragging about it. You see, he's really talking about two different things. He's talking about a human wisdom, and he's talking about a heavenly wisdom. He, in these verses, will talk about an earthly kind of wisdom that man has. But he's going to talk about a heavenly wisdom that only God can give you. You know, when you got saved, you got in on something you never had gotten in on before. The spiritual things are, it's a different realm, it's a different world. The Bible says the natural man, the earthly man, the human man, he can't understand that. He can see church, but he doesn't understand church. He can see a Bible, read a Bible, and he don't get it. He can see Christians act like they act, and he understands what, he says, what in the world is wrong with them? I don't understand it. It's because he has no idea about this other world that we have been invited to and been enjoying for however long you've been saved. There's a difference between these wisdom. One is a human wisdom. It is of man. There's another wisdom. It's a heavenly wisdom. It is of God. Now, they're complete opposites. Human wisdom and heavenly wisdom are completely different. Here's what human wisdom says. A little puppy is just as important as a child. You hear that today. Now, a little puppy's important, but it ain't as important as a child. But mankind and human wisdom are so out of focus, so foolish, so out of joint with reality. Their thinking is messed up. Their beliefs are messed up. Remember, our beliefs control what we do. What we believe develops the wisdom we have, hopefully. There's some differences in wisdom. There's that heavenly wisdom that comes from God and only from God. There's that human wisdom that comes, as we'll find out in just a minute, from man. Human wisdom says there's no absolutes. And since there are no absolutes, hey, what might be wrong for you? That ain't wrong for me. Now, if it's wrong for you, that's fine, but don't tell me how to live. You have no right telling me how to live. That's human wisdom. But God says, heavenly wisdom says, right is right and wrong is wrong for everybody, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation. This human wisdom is earthly. It's on the human level, the earthly level. And much of the time it's wrong, as we'll find out in just a minute. James talks about human wisdom. There is a wisdom you can get from somewhere other than from God. It is not of God. Wonder where it's from. The devil and from man. It is motivated by self-ambition. How can I get ahead? What's in it for me? What about number one? I don't care what happens to you. That's human wisdom. That's human thinking. Listen, that's what they believe. Listen, and what they believe controls how they act. And so it is with us. What we believe controls how we live. Human wisdom is of man. Human wisdom is of the devil, as we'll find out in just a minute. And it's not difficult to find this human wisdom. Turn on the TV. Look at the billboard. Click the computer. It's everywhere. What man believes is spouted everywhere. It spreads and to any and all who will listen. Human wisdom says the ability lies in you. You just have to tap into that source. The power lies within you. You just have to tap that power. Well, the Bible says the opposite. Jesus said, without me, heavenly help, you can do nothing. This human wisdom is of man. This human, unless you're missing it, this human wisdom ain't right. It's wrong. It's to be shunned. Human wisdom. Look on to verse 14. Oh, no, I'll tell you what. Seems like I'm getting molasses when I get up here. Slows me down. But if you have bitter envy, he said, if you claim to have wisdom, let's examine your life. Because if you've got heavenly wisdom, if you're truly wise, it'll show up. Let's take a look at your life. If you have bitter envying, it means a zealous jealousy. In other words, it means this person wants something someone else has. this person does not like that other person having it. This is what James talks about, human wisdom. It leads to jealousy. It leads to bitter envy. The word bitter means exactly how it sounds. It is harsh, self-centered, resentful attitude. I don't want anybody to have what I can't have. And when they get it, I get upset. That's human wisdom. It's focused on self. And if anybody even suggests that I'm wrong or that somehow I need to improve, something's wrong with them. That's human wisdom. He says if you have bitter envy and strife, the word strife means to want to get ahead, to do whatever it takes to get ahead. It has the idea of a politician. That enough said? They'll say whatever it takes to get elected. Then they forget it all. And that's exactly what James is saying. These people who have human wisdom controlling them have bitter envy and strife. He says, look in your life. If you see these things, you ain't wise no matter what you think you are, no matter what you say or whatever you claim. If these things are true, you do not have God's wisdom. Resentful, jealous. It has the idea of an intolerance to rivalry. In other words, you don't want any competition against your life. Don't want anybody getting better than you. Now, I'll throw this in case you're missing, in case you don't realize it. God's displeased with this. God's not pleased with this kind of thing. Now, there is a good kind of jealousy. God is jealous of us. The Bible says in Psalm 78, 58, they have provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. God said when something invades the lives of my people, I get jealous over it. I get disturbed about it. That's the right kind of jealousy because he's the only one who merits our worship and merits our all. Now, if you're not a little bit jealous of your spouse, there's a problem. If somebody can flirt with your spouse, and they flirt back, and that not bothered you just a little bit, there's something wrong with you, or you don't love them. But that can be carried too far. Jealousy generally is bad and wrong, and the kind of jealousy he's talking here is wrong. It's where people just don't want anybody to get anything they have or could have, even if they don't want it themselves. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm saying a lot here. And if you're not careful, it'll be too much, and I'm leaving a lot of stuff out. That's one reason why I struggle with these verses. He says, check up your life. You say you're wise. You say you have wisdom. You have bitter envy and strife in your heart. You see, it's a heart problem. It's inside. If the root is bad, the fruit will be bad. If the heart is bad, the actions will be bad. And he says, glory not. In other words, don't brag about it. Don't boast about it. It literally means to be proud or to boast. There were people here undoubtedly that thought, well, we're so wise. We're so smart. God has blessed us with a special abundance of wisdom. And James said, you better not brag about it too much if you look at your life. And you're not adding up and matching Scripture. You don't have heavenly wisdom no matter what you think. He says, don't boast about it. Don't brag about it. Don't glory about it. What in the world do we have to be proud about anyway? Everything we've got came from God. I mean, I'd have nothing without Him, including what little smarts I got, a little bit of skill I've got. Then notice he says, lie not against the truth. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to others. If you don't have what he's talking about, James said, quit telling yourself that you do. There's no need in denying the truth. You know the biggest lie that's believed today? It's what we believe about ourselves. Most of us believe we're better than we are. And James said, if you find out you're not, don't lie about it. Don't believe the lie of the devil. There's no need in denying the truth. If you don't have wisdom, just go ahead and be honest and admit it. Quit trying to hide it. Quit trying to hide that selfish and centered, that human heart, that earthly heart, that earthly thought. Look at verse 15. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. He's talking about wisdom. He's going to be talking about two different kinds of wisdom. One is human. One is heavenly. And right now he's dealing with a human wisdom. And he says, this kind of wisdom descendeth not from above. It didn't come from God. It didn't come down from up there. If you've got this kind of wisdom, he says, you didn't get it from God. And I guess so. Because God does not tell man he's okay like man believes. God does not tell man that I can do a little sin and it's okay, because that didn't come from God. That's not so. God doesn't tell man what man believes in this world. Hey, you know this world's messed up, right? The belief system of this world has gone absolutely out of whack. And that didn't come from God. This wisdom descendeth not from above. It did not come from God. It did not come up from down from heaven, but it's earthly. It literally means comes from man. Now, the world can educate us. We've got schools and high schools and colleges and seminaries and all kinds of higher schools of learning. And they're all spewing out their old, all their gobbledygook. And people's learning a whole lot of stuff that means nothing. And James said, the Lord said, all that knowledge, even though some of it's not bad in itself, it doesn't give you wisdom. It doesn't teach you how to walk with God. It doesn't teach you what the Bible says and how to apply it to life. It doesn't teach you how to hear from heaven. It doesn't connect you to the God who loves you. It's an earthly human wisdom. And that's all that it is. It comes from man. It is purely human. And it is a wisdom that's almost useless, because it does no good. It doesn't connect you to God. You know what they tell you, right? If we've got problems, they say, well, you need to go see an expert. You need to go find somebody trained. You know what an expert is, don't you? An expert is somebody who's learned something from another expert. And that expert learned what they learned from another expert. You know what? Every one of them is dumb as a brick as far as walking with God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's times where we, even as God's people, need to get some help. Need to talk to somebody who knows something more than we know. But I'll tell you one thing. We should never go to somebody who does not believe this Bible. How can somebody that doesn't even believe the Bible tell you how to get help? They can give you some knowledge, but they ain't got no wisdom. They'll give you human wisdom that will mess you up more. When you find somebody who knows this book and can apply this book, and knows what heavenly wisdom is and godly wisdom, and they can take the truths and the principles of this book and apply to your life and your issue and your problem, you get some help. James is not downplaying learning or knowledge, but he is downplaying some human wisdom who has no foundation in anything other than the earth. He says it is wrong. It descends not from above. It ain't from God. It is earthly. It does you no good as far as your spirit is concerned. Notice, This wisdom descendeth not from above, is earthly, sensual. It literally means being of the flesh. That pleases me. Well, I want to ask you, can I get some real help from somebody telling me to please myself, to do what I want to do? And that's the kind of human wisdom James is talking about. It's something that's earthly. It's something of the flesh. I want to tell you something. Two teenagers on a date don't need sensual wisdom. They need some spiritual wisdom. They need to know, if I do something wrong, I will regret it. Well, I'll tell you something, us older folks that ain't teenagers and no longer dating when the devil tempts us, we need to know wisdom, not just knowledge. We got the knowledge, but we need the wisdom to know I will pay more than I want to pay if I do wrong. That's wisdom. James says the human wisdom, it's up the earth. And really in these things, it's the flesh, the world, the flesh, and the devil will find out. Or if you look at it, you see it. It descends not above, it's earthly, sensual, devilish. You know what he's saying? It comes straight from the devil. There are demons. Remember what the Bible says? Seducing spirits with doctrines of devils, deceiving people in the last days. There's more involved with this human wisdom than just some man being trained at a school about human stuff. There's something more involved. It's the devil. It is the evil one. Listen to me. It is intelligence without the Holy Spirit's assistance. And that's worthless. Without God. Jude said it like this, having not the Spirit, they do that which comes naturally. Without the Holy Spirit, it's of the devil. It's not of God. It teaches man you're your own God. You have it within yourself. You can decide what's good or what's evil. Within each person is the ability to live. Just find that. Tap onto that, as I've already said. And this kind of wisdom offers no assistance to someone really needing help. It's a bunch of gobbledygook. It's human wisdom. Look at verse 16. And where there is envying and strife, and for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. He's continuing to start to talk about this human wisdom. Where envying and strife is. Envying, again, has the idea of jealousy, of wanting what others want, not wanting them to have it, not wanting somebody to get above me. And strife has the same kind of idea. It has an evil desire. It's kind of like Nebuchadnezzar that looks around and says, look at all this Babylon which I have created, that I have built with my own power. And if you remember, he didn't have a good end to that. God took him down. And that's what James is talking about. This human wisdom elevates us to an area and to a level that God never intended. Even strife is the root, and confusion is the result. Confusion means it's instability or disorder. I know of two better words to describe our world than instability and disorder. Do you listen at all to what the leaders of our country do? They are an absolute bunch of idiots. I'm telling you, I'm dumb, but I got better sense to do what they do. Our world is coming unglued. Our world is absolutely falling apart. Our world is imploding, exploding at the same time, and you can't do that, but it is. And James said that's what human wisdom will get you. It is chaos. It is confusion. Confusion is, I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. And that's what the world is. And James says that's what this human wisdom will do. Now, they don't admit it. I wrote this down this afternoon. It's like a bunch of ants running around, but it ain't really. Because those ants do a better job doing what they're doing than our world does. They do have a way to go, a plan to go. They don't look like it. They'll go all over the place to us, but they got some organization about them. This world's chaos. This world's running around, everybody running around in circles, completely lost and has no clue. And James said, that's what human wisdom will give you. It will drive you buggy. Confusion in every evil work. He says, it's not just confusion. It's not just, I don't know what to do, really. I don't know what the answer is. I got a question for you. What is the answer in this day? In this world, in this country, what is the answer? What will fix it? I'll tell you, God. That's all. This human wisdom, it leads to confusion in every evil work. It literally means nothing good and nothing godly. It's useless, useless at best and evil at worst. It has no spiritual value whatsoever. That's the wisdom that comes from this world. Hey. And it's seeping into the church. Because human wisdom says, I want it my way. I want to please myself. My way is more important. And we're in this day, people are saying, well, I want my favorite singer to sing my favorite song. Or my favorite preacher ain't preaching, I ain't going. If I don't feel just right, if I don't feel so good, I won't go. It's seeping into the church. I remember a day when people came, it didn't matter, I'm telling you the truth, it didn't matter who was preaching or who was singing, they just wanted to get to church. And they came to worship. They didn't come to get their favorite message or their favorite song or their favorite singer. They came to worship God. They came to hear from heaven. You know why? Because they wanted God to tell them how to live. They had enough sense to know, in this world, I don't have enough smarts to make it. I need wisdom from God. And I get it at the church. I get it from the Bible. I get it on my knees. Hey, James has already told us back in the first chapter, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You see, it comes from God. We get it from Him on our knees, on our face before God. It's confusion, every evil work, and it's unfortunately worked into the church so many times. The problem is it leaves God out of the equation. Where did I come from? Who do I owe my allegiance to? Well, I got to hurry. James talks about human wisdom. I'm talking about here about the wisdom and its differences. There's human wisdom, this earthly thing, but there's also heavenly wisdom. Beginning in verse 17, don't have but two more verses. Maybe we get them. I don't know. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now he's talking about the heavenly wisdom. He said, but the wisdom from above. What did he say about the other one? The one that did not come from above. The one that's under the sun, the writer of the Ecclesiastes would say. The one that excludes God. That's human wisdom. But heavenly wisdom is the one that's from above, the one that comes from God. And notice what he says. He gives a little bit about the heavenly wisdom here in this verse. It's from above. It comes from God. It means it's controlling us if we're letting it work in our life. It controls our thinking. Hey, we read the label. Where was this made? USA. Well, I hope that's good. It's more promising now. Made in China. Uh-oh. Made in Japan used to be the worst thing. You always put that back on the shelf because you want to know where it came from. You want to know who made it. Generally, you look and see China, you're going to say, oh, no, it's a piece of junk. Because the source is wrong. Well, James said there's a source to wisdom. One source is the earth and the flesh and the devil. But there's another wisdom. His source is heaven. If God sent it, if it's from God, I can count on it. I can depend on it. I can let it control my life. In fact, I just not only can, I better. It's heavenly wisdom. It's first pure. Now, I automatically think about holy when I think about pure, and that's a part of it, but really the word here means the absence of impurities. You may say, well, that's the same thing. Well, it is, sort of. You know, like the water you get now that they probably just filled it with tap water and sold it to you for $1.50 a bottle that they say is pure. They removed all the impurities. That's what this word is here. All the impurities is taken out of this wisdom. In other words, there's no self-ambition here. There's no pride here. There's no how can I get ahead here. There's no jealousy here. There's no impatience here. There's no strife here. Now, that human wisdom, that's all that it is. But this heavenly wisdom, it's from above. It's different. It's pure. Notice he said, first pure. To begin with, more than anything else, you can count on it because it's pure. You can depend on it. The first characteristic, unlike human wisdom, this heavenly wisdom is pure. That shouldn't surprise us since it comes from God. God sends uncontaminated things. He gives pure things. Notice what he says. It's not only pure, but it's peaceable. I'm going to rush through these if I can and still do justice to the words. It means peaceable. It means it loves peace. It doesn't want to ripple the water. It's not like it's a wimp. Or a scaredy cat or a coward. But this wisdom just makes you love peace. When people get along, people love each other. Peace in your heart and peace toward others. It not only loves peace, it promotes peace. This person do all they can to keep peace in the right way. This kind of wisdom understands the importance of being peaceable with men. Notice it says also gentle. It means gentle and kind and tender and patient and courteous. Even in the times of distress is the implication here. I ain't always that way. I get stressful. I just bark out things, say things, do things, and I think, why in the world I do that? I let circumstances cause me. You know what? That ain't a heavenly wisdom. That's earthly. That's me. And it's wrong. He says it's gentle, kind, patient, courteous. Even when it's being mistreated, there's no hatred, there's no malice, there's no desire for revenge. He says it's easy to be entreated. It yields easily. Submits to others. And again, not a wimp. Not you can just beat them around, drag them around, do whatever you want to. The implication is from their heart, they want to be at peace with each other. And some things aren't worth fighting over. Sometimes my way's not worth fighting over. And the heavenly wisdom gives this implication. It's a part of the life. It says easy to be entreated. It means ready to learn, especially if it's about my own flaws. If God wants to show me something wrong with me, I'm ready to listen. If somebody needs to say to me, I need improvement, I'm ready to listen. If I got heavenly wisdom, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, concerned about others, caring, especially those that are suffering and that are in need. This is the earthly, this is the heavenly wisdom. Hey, again, it's what a person believes in their heart that came from God that controls their life. He said, you do the checklist. If these things aren't true in your life, you don't have heavenly wisdom, no matter what you think or say. Full of mercy and full of good fruits. It produces good fruits. Paul talked about being filled with the fruits of righteousness. It produces good works without partiality. Doesn't pick one, doesn't choose one over the other. Go back to James where he said, when somebody rich comes in, you choose them and you tell the poor man to sit over in the corner somewhere or stand over beside the wall. He said, there's no partiality. There's no pick this one and drop this one. Being good to one and hostile to the other. Be kind to one. Be kind 1 minute and not so kind the next. Without hypocrisy. He said, it's genuine. It's real. It's somebody who is pure and peaceable and gentle and easily entreated and full of mercy and full of good fruits and without partiality, and it's from their heart. They're not putting it on. They're not pretending. They're not making themselves do it. It comes from the heart because of the wisdom that God has put in them and what He's done. And then notice on full of mercy. Already dealt with that. Let's look on in verse 18. I've looked at wisdom and its definition. There's the wisdom information that we've received that we use to control our life. And the wisdom James said we need is the wisdom that comes from God that we believe and accept that controls our life and teaches us how to live in a way that will honor Him and please Him in this messed up world. Wisdom and its definition, wisdom and its differences. There's a human wisdom that's of man. There's a heavenly wisdom that's of God. Let me deal this last thing. Wisdom and its description. Verse 18, he deals with the description of wisdom. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, I tell you what, I did a lot of reading, a lot of listening on these six verses. And I found out a whole lot of fellas did with this verse 18 about what I wanted to do. Pretend it wasn't there. I mean, they'd get to verse 17, conclude the thing, and go to chapter 4. Like it wasn't even there, and I know why. It ain't easy telling you what it means. But what he's saying is this, in essence. If you have heavenly wisdom, if I have heavenly wisdom, it's something we receive from God. It is like He sows seed in your heart, and it produces a life of righteousness. We have learned from God, not just knowledge, not just facts, but something that will help us to know how to live, wisdom. And that produces a godly, it talks about the fruits of righteousness. But he said that's not where it stops. Because God wants you to receive the seed that comes from Him to produce in your life that righteous living. That you, when you're living righteously before others, they'll want the same. And your fruit that God's produced in your life will produce more fruit. Now, that's the simplest way I can say that verse. That is not saying all that it says, but I'll say that and leave it alone. James talks about a wise man, wisdom, and dude with knowledge. He talks about wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is knowing facts. We all need that. But knowledge without wisdom is dangerous. Knowledge without wisdom is useless. Because just knowing the facts is not enough. I need to know how to use those facts to honor God. That's wisdom. He said, there's some wisdom you can get of the world that'll ruin you. It'll wreck you. Instead of giving you peace, it'll disrupt your life. The best it can do is make things worse for you. But there's some heavenly wisdom that comes from God. And He says you get it by asking. I asked Him again this morning, Lord, I already told you, Lord, you know me. You know how dumb I am. You're going to have to show me in a way to where I can get it. That's what He said, ask of God. Well, there's a lot to be said and there's a lot to be left out. All I know is I'm quitting. So let's stand together.